Our first lesson comes from Psalm 118. Listen for God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
And from the Gospel of Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of the Lord. Here toward the end of the gospel, it is ironic that we have this question looming over this familiar passage of scripture. Who is this? Early on, there were two disciples, and then there were 12. And now we are told there is a very large crowd spreading their cloaks and waving their branches. They are enacting the formative passage of the scripture from the great prophet Isaiah, "Look, your king is coming humble and mounted on a donkey." And they are quoting Zechariah, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They are in Jerusalem for Passover, singing the great Passover hymn, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And here comes Jesus, riding into town just as the ancient scriptures promised, the fulfillment of their hope and expectation, the arrival of God's Messiah. And yet this question hovers over the city: who is this? It is as if they have been given the complete script in their playbill, the starring actor's full biography, the summary of the plot, and yet they still do not know how it ends. Who is this? This happens to us too. We look at a friend or a spouse or a parent, someone we feel we have known forever, and yet sometimes we find ourselves asking, who are you and what have you done with your old self? This question is probably easiest to recognize in our children. About a month ago, I had a conversation here with the mother of a second grader. The child had been learning a lot of new things in school back in February during Black History Month and started coming home with real life stories about Martin Luther King Jr. And she had a vocabulary that swelled with words like racism and civil rights and assassination. The mother and I pondered how watching a child grow up is both exhilarating and terrifying. Suddenly, the innocence of the kindergartner was gone in 2 short years. Who is she now? A year ago, we saw this in our own younger son. We flew to Scotland at the end of his semester abroad, and that child who once had us wondering if he would ever do all of his homework, much less get to an airplane on time, had matured into an adult who could navigate international travel, a subway system in any country, and who was filled with knowledge of history and art and political science, some of which we ourselves had forgotten. Who is this? This young adult who can make his way in the world by himself, in whose company we now delight? And where is that surly adolescence we lived through and often worried over? We all know what it's like to recognize someone and to not recognize fully the very same person. Life changes us. Exposure makes us grow. Circumstances cause us to take on new attributes. And so it is with Jesus riding into the holy city on the fulfillment of ancient God-given promises, the one who had spoken like God, who had healed like God, who had tangled with the leaders of the people just like God had from the very beginning. There is a parade in his honor. Ancient songs are sung. Hopes swell. And yet there is something here that we cannot decipher. Some determination in his eye we cannot understand. Some godliness we cannot yet make sense of. Who is this? I have a friend who served a church in Western North Carolina where one of the members is a carpenter. A few years ago, my friend the pastor and the carpenter came up with a wonderfully creative idea for a visual display on the lawn of the church during the season of Lent. Near the sidewalk leading into the main entrance from the parking area, they put a big wooden stump out in the courtyard and created the impression of a carpenter shop. Like a lot of good artwork, it was just there, with no explanation given. But with each passing week during Lent, it changed slightly. On the first Sunday of Lent, there was just a big broad stump with a few carpenter tools. The next week, some lengths of wood. The following week, they had been hewn into beams. The next Sunday, people going into worship may have noticed that some nails had been added in a pile beside the hammer. When the Sundays approached Holy Week, two of those beams had been affixed into a cross. The visual display moved from a more subtle association of carpentry with Jesus to a more visceral reflection on the crucifixion. On Palm Sunday, some palm branches were laid beside the cross. On Maundy Thursday, a pitcher of water and a towel, recalling how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. The pastor and the carpenter had a great idea for Easter: to clear all of it away. Nails, hammer, wood beams, cross, towel, all of it would be gone, and they would leave only a folded linen cloth on top of the stump that at its sight everyone might hear the angel at Easter's dawn saying, "Do not be afraid. I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly to tell his disciples." A linen cloth, that's all they needed for the climactic Sunday of their artistic rendering. But you never know what kind of impact such a quiet visual creation might have on people. It proved to be very effective for one couple in particular. For when my pastor friend arrived at the church on Saturday before Easter to clean up the wood and the nails and to put out the cloth evoking the empty tomb, this is what she found. A couple in the church had already removed the stump. They had removed everything. And in its place, they had purchased, donated, and installed a wooden garden bench adorned with an enormous peace lily and a big bow. When gently questioned about their disrupting the display before the dramatic climax of Easter morning, they said simply, "We had to do something." Easter is a happy time. Obviously, the visual reminders of Jesus' pain and suffering had had its way with them. They could not take it after so many weeks, and they intervened to make it seem at last a happy time. But friends, it is possible to show up for the Palm Sunday parade and not come back to the gospel until after Easter, and to move from happy time to happy time and bypass the cross altogether. But if we do, we miss the extraordinary answer to this hovering question: who is this? Who is this man who captured the imagination of an oppressed people with the posture of a liberator riding into town? Who is this, the one who proclaimed good news, who healed the sick, and gave sight to the blind? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth, who had taken on the religious authorities and beat them at their own games of interpreting scripture for the people of God? "Who is this?" they shout from their perches along the route of the Palm Sunday parade. They say at the end of our reading that this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee, but that is more of a joke than an answer, really. For prophets have lost their lives in Jerusalem, and Nazareth is a no-count town in the middle of nowhere, and no good has ever come from there. The real answer to the question, who is this, will not be heard until the crucifixion, when over his head they put the charges against him that read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." The question that is raised up over the city in turmoil on an excited Palm Sunday is given answer only after those wooden beams have been hewn and crossed, and upon them nailed his very human body with a sign that mocks him, saying, "This is Jesus." You cannot get to Easter in all its unspeakable hope and joy without going down into the pit of despair over the brutal reality of death. As my friend Michael Lindvall has put it, this faith of ours stubbornly and faithfully remembers that our life's journey passes through both bright days and stormy seasons, through warm meadow days and deep, dark valley days. The revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ is deep and dark enough to encompass the totality of human experience, even unto death. It was on this day in 1945, on April 9th, that German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was put to death for his work to free the German people from the death-dealing Nazi regime. And while he was confined in Hitler's prison, he became acquainted with a God he had not fully recognized before. Bonhoeffer wrote, "God allows himself to be edged out of the world and onto the cross. And that is the way, the only way, in which God can be with us and help us. Only a suffering God can help. Only a suffering God can help when you come face to face with death through the experience of caring for the dying one you love. Only a suffering God can help when that too young life is snatched away, leaving nothing but grief and unanswered questions. Only a suffering God can help when the camera lens pulls up close to the Syrian 2-year-old struggling to breathe from chemicals unleashed as weapons upon the most vulnerable of God's children. Only a suffering God can help when a truck plows down pedestrians in Stockholm or London or southern France. Only a suffering God can be with us and for us in the midst of the suffering that at one time or another will enter into every human life. He comes among us humbly, on a donkey, down close to the people and little children, surrounded by disciples and would-be followers, people like you and me, who long for a God who rejoices with our joy, and who shares in the worst that life has to offer. Those who cheered Jesus coming into Jerusalem, shouting Hosanna and hailing the one who came in the name of the Lord, knew only in part at that moment who this Jesus was. For it was not until he had been stripped, crowned with thorns, mocked, spat upon, and crucified as a common criminal, that they really knew who he was. God's own Son, suffering on behalf of a suffering world. Who is this? The revelation of God, who does not ignore the evil or the suffering, or even the death that all human beings must eventually endure. This is Jesus, the God who enters into it, where only a suffering God can help. Amen.